Well, let's let the Lord stir our heart and stir our soul and bring us into that warm place of relationship where we truly can be those Spirit-filled, on-fire disciples that He wants us to be. Well, are we up there today where we want to be? Before this service is over, I sincerely want to see us all get our souls so full that you won't be the same tomorrow, right? That your fire burning in your heart won't let you be the same tomorrow. And your fire tomorrow won't let you slip back into the same rut you were stuck in today. Oh, let's let God get a hold. Let's let God get a new hold on our life. And a new purpose rising up here. You know, of what God would do and the vision that God would put before your eyes. That you can be used of God. Some of you are used of God. Some I could question how much you're used of God. But we all should want to be solidly in a place of consecration to Christian service. Hey, we belong there. That's something we should consider. So Pentecost really brought about the disciples of the Lord getting anointed to go out and to do the work and do the will of God. And I don't care which place you want to look. You can pick a chapter yourself and look at it through the book of Acts. And boy, there's Acts in there, isn't there? Are they the Acts of the Apostles or are they the Acts of the Holy Ghost? Well, listen, I believe they're the Acts of the Holy Ghost working through the Apostles. Weren't they fired up? Weren't they anointed? Did it last in them? My, we look at old brother Paul and see, well, my, he seemed to have endless energy to run and to go. But listen, he had anointing. He was doing out among the Gentiles mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. My, he was out there a long time on that field. He went through a lot of hard places. Listen, he wasn't in the upper room that we know anything about. But we know this, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. We know that surely he got filled with the Holy Ghost when Ananias went over there, you know, where Paul was staying and prayed for him. And that was one of the things he should pray, that he would receive the Holy Ghost. That his eyes were opened. His eyes had scales on them. You know, the blindness of seeing the glory of the Lord. Well, today, we can thank God that surely those apostles, they entered right into what God had. And we could see such wonderful works. I mean, you know Acts 5. You ought to know it. I've preached it to you probably 50 times. Acts 5. Hey, the apostles' greatest revival. Nowhere do we see in any one place a greater revival held. Here there was the 12 together preaching the gospel. And they had the streets of Jerusalem filled with people who were sick and lame. People who now had no means, you know, to do anything because they were so bad off. The sick were brought into the streets and they lined the streets. And you know, we could see that they didn't only that, and when they started to pray for them, and the power and the anointing of God came down upon them, we know this, that when God began to move, they began to move out and go out farther and bring people in and line the streets. Hey, they were raising them up and they were loading the streets up again. But listen, they had a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. It was a mighty revival. It was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. And that anointing was heavy. And when all was said and done, the Scripture would verify to you, if you read it, that God healed them, every one. Saints of God, when you go to a meeting and every sick person is healed, you know you've been to a meeting. When you go into a meeting and no sick person who got prayed for went home sick, you know you've been in a real old-time Holy Ghost meeting then. Oh, how many times did Jesus have those revivals? Those times of gathering the multitude. And there was a multitude of people, and still everybody was healed. Nobody went back without that blessing. Well, I look at a pattern back there. Say, oh God, we can envy that pattern. You could look back there and say, oh God, if I could only have a ministry like that. Well, maybe in that you would want it so bad, maybe that would get in your way of receiving it, because there might be a little bit of a tendency in some ways, you know, to kind of get lifted up thinking you're going to be equal to or whatever. But all today we got to know, we got to understand that surely God has good things. What? Service for Jesus' sake. His helpers to reach the people in this world in this last day. A vision to reach just out into this nation. What a big place this nation is. Just take a trip around it and see. So we think in our hearts what's needed in the day and the hour. Saints of God, I understand with no conflict at all in my understanding. I know and I understand the way and the only way you can successfully do some of the things that God has spoken to us. It's just a heavier anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just another drink, oh my, another infilling. It may take another whole anointing on you. You know what I mean? To do those works. And those works are not something that's a light matter. There's something surely like all the works. It's only God who can do those works. And we remember that His anointing is God working in us to do those works. After all is said and done, all you will have done is yielded to the Spirit. You were just that part that could be seen. Hey, behind the scenes where it couldn't be seen, hey, there was the power of God, or there was the Holy Ghost welling up from within you doing those things. Well, now, we want to see old-time revival, don't we? Christian service, whatever it consists of. Church, we are not oriented enough in our minds to true Christian service. It's not deep enough in the mind, in the heart, to feel for yourself that there's some obligation here. God, in His love and mercy, saved us. And you know, He didn't charge us a dime. He didn't ask us to do anything but to receive it. And to believe it. And look at how God was so gracious to save you. Bring you out. Deliver you out of your bondage. Break you out of your shell. Get you out of your mess. You know, getting you up on top of it all. Look at what God has done for you. Oh, how that ought to make you more and more and more aware of how you ought to be in a place where God can use you to bring others out of the same places you were in. On a night. Or today, let's think deep in our hearts. God is looking to use His people. God is looking to use His people. God is looking for those who want to be used. Remember, God is not the ram it, jam it down your throat. He's not going to come along to you someday and say, look, boy, you get out there in that street, or I'm just going to run His whole arm down your throat. No. He'll just let you go. He'll deal with you. But the long run, He'll let you go. And He'll catch you later at the judgment when there's no rewards, and you'll wonder why. Got to get into it. I suppose there's a lot of things that are easy to put off. Praying is easy to put off, isn't it? Easy to put your prayer life aside. Hey, I got things to do. I don't have time. Got things to do. We could put visitation. We can put that off as easy. Well, I'd like to go out, but I don't have time. You want to go to the ball game? Oh, sure, I'd love to. We can make time in a moment. Is that true? Come on, now you can say amen or say ouch. Say amen or say ouch. When it comes to working for God, I am... What's that word? It starts with L. It's got a Z right in the middle of it. Now you got LZ. It's not LC, it's LZ. What's the rest of it? Lazy. When it comes to working for God, I'm lazy. I'd like to, but. Hey, this is not a billy goat religion. It's not but. Let's take a halt and recognize. You know, Pentecost would bring this kind of a blessing that God could work in and through His people. It's God's plan to work in and through His people. It's God's plan to fill us with the Holy Ghost and anoint us to Christian service. That we could be vessels then, doing with Him what He Himself is doing, reaching out to this world. Listen, we know our nation is about as sad and sicky as it could get. And it's getting worse. Let's understand it. Our nation is sick. You know it's sick. My lands, they declare war in a schoolhouse. The nation is not sick. The society is not sick. Wouldn't you kill 14 kids in school one day or 12 and kill yourselves? Isn't that a sick thing? There's a lot of sick things going on. Well, what are we going to do? We can't take care of all the ills. That's true. But saints of God, we could be a light. We could be a light everywhere. But right here in our own place, right here in our own area, let's be up and about the Master's work. Let's want to get an anointing. You want from God, and God doesn't see any reason to give it to you. Your motive for wanting it isn't, oh God, this service, Lord, I'm meeting these young folks out here every day and every day, Lord, and I don't know what to do. I want God to anoint you to do something. You know what I'm saying? If we're not wanting these things for the right purpose, God has no reason to give them to us. Not for show. These don't belong on the mantle. Hey, these belong in your heart. These belong as a treasure in an earthen vessel, that it might be to the praise and to the honor of God, that He can work in you and He can work through you. I think all of us should see that the answer to a lot of things, it was Pentecost. Today it's just keeping Pentecost going on in our own hearts and in our own souls. And not let the fire go out. Come on now. Can we let the fire go out? Should we let it just burn down? Should we let it smoke out on us? Should it just get into a flickering thing and just finally just smoke itself out? Oh, there was a fire there. Hey, there was a fire in that man. Oh, that man was really on fire. But the devil brought some kind of a big extinguisher and done him in. He just quit it. He just dropped back. He just dropped out of the ranks. He's not out there fighting anymore. He's just burned out. Oh, listen now. We can't let anything stand in our way. How God, having given to us His Holy Spirit, would feel a perfect liberty to come to you and ask of you and expect of you that you'd say, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll do. Yes, Lord, I'll be. Oh, how willing we ought to be in yielding our hearts and our lives to God. Could you say amen to that? Come on, I want you to say amen or say out. I'd like to hear a few ouches. I'd like to hear a few people saying, I'm going to say the truth here, Brother Daly. I'm going to say ouch. Hey, you're hitting me, Brother Daly. Don't hit me like that. Hey, I'm your friend, Brother Daly. Don't hit me like that. It's all right to hit your friend. Hey, it's a stranger coming in sometimes. He may think you're pouncing on him. Hey, but you've been around long enough to know to say, hey, I love you. And because I love you, I ought to be able to say the truth to you any day of the week. Anytime. Amen? And you ought to be willing to hear it. Say, oh my, hey, that's from my familiar friend. Hey, he's telling me something. Why don't I listen? It's time. Time is a wasting. We're at the end of the age, and we're in the midst of a great falling away. And the church, though it may think it's in perfect condition in America, has surely lost its sense of direction. And the church has slipped away and slipped away. How much farther can it slip? How much more lukewarm can it get? When will it come when the Lord is going to say, and spit it out? Now, He said to that church in Laodicea, He said, you're lukewarm. And He said to them, you say you're rich and you have need of nothing, and you don't know that you're poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind. Think about that. Oh, what a thing to say. He said that to His church. Well, they said, they were, you know, rich and they didn't have any need of anything. That don't sound very good for church to say, hey, we're rich. We don't have a need of anything. But they didn't know. They were poor, miserable, wretched, naked, blind. Those words of description would be enough to tell you that it would seem in a million years they'd never make heaven with such words. They were lost. They were naked. They had no covering for their sinful lukewarmness. They were lukewarm. And the Lord said unto them, because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Ooh. Ain't that strong? By the way, have you looked at the thermostat lately? Have you looked at the thermostat lately? What's it set at? Is it set at low? High? Beware of setting it in the middle. Hey, you know what I mean? And he said unto them, I would that you were cold or hot, but to be lukewarm, you're unmovable when you're lukewarm. The lukewarm church don't pay mind. The biggest picture you'll ever see of a lukewarm church is when the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will hear my voice and come to me, I'll sup with him. He's locked out of his own church. Look at now. Look at that. That's the last day lukewarm church. The age of compromise is so upon us. The devil looking for compromising preachers. How do you know, Brother Daly? Because one day he came to me right in a prayer meeting at home, at Judy's house. And he said, talk with me. Talk with me. Compromise with me. Boy, I'll tell you, my prayer meeting sure took a turn when he said that. Oh, did that hurt me. Oh, that stirred my soul. Oh, that would have been the day if you'd had his head, you'd have trampled into the floor if you could have found it. To hear the devil, to hear him literally ask you to talk with him. I don't believe we should talk to the devil about anything except this. Get behind me, Satan! We can talk that kind of language. Oh, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, we need to have that kind of talk. But to compromise, what do we want to compromise for? Hey, to compromise is to backslide. And you know that lukewarm compromise, it makes people stay in church. And they still hang around. And they're still going out and playing golf on Saturday. They're still got the softball leagues. They're still doing everything. But they're not doing what God called them to do. They don't need anything. They're the church that would say, we're rich. We have need of nothing. And don't know. And don't know they're poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind. And that in the state they're in, the coming of the Lord would be a disaster to them. The only way the Lord would be able to deal with that kind of a church was that kind of a church, that kind of a group of people who are lukewarm. What is he going to do? Hey, they're going into tribulation fires and come out over there somewhere. They can't go that way. They're not ready. They don't have a covering for their sins. Are they going to heaven? I don't think so. So that church was in trouble. Now, today, we don't want to be in trouble, do we? We don't want compromise. We don't want to compromise our convictions. We don't want to compromise our position. We don't want to compromise the Word of God more than all. We don't want to change. We don't want to be appeasers of, you know, to where we'll appease people. They can be in sin and we'll pet them. Oh, no. Let's just take a halt and get real serious in our hearts. We need that fire. We need to see that we're not cold and we're not lukewarm. There's only one more position to get in. And it's to get on fire. To get hot. To get hot. He didn't want them cold. They were lukewarm. and he would rather they'd be cold or hot. Oh, the Lord wanted to see that church get on fire. The Lord wanted to see those folks in there praying down the power. Wanted to see them on Pentecost Sunday in the church having a meeting where they're looking and desiring greatly to reach out and touch the Lord. He would rather have them in a place where their concerns would have been there for the sake of the work of God. But it's the church we look at. It was in a disastrous condition. So they weren't cold. And they weren't hot. A cold church can be dealt with. Can you say amen? A cold church can be revived. A cold church. Oh, many a cold church has had a preacher come, had an evangelist or somebody come who got to really preaching the power and the fire of God and really got into it with them and got them stirred up and got them started and got them into it and helped them to get on and go with God. But listen, we got to think in our hearts. There's that church now that's lukewarm. Send all the evangelists you want. They're not going to hear it. They're at a state. Lukewarmness leaves you where you know. Nobody's going to tell me. Everybody today is in that attitude. There's frames of mind. Everybody who is different than they are is a legalist. Amen? So we're just legalists. We're wanting the Word of God. I mean, they want to divorce and remarry as many times as they will, and they don't want anybody telling them there's anything wrong with it. My, they throw these things around, you know, all the time, the things that churches used to stand for. My, the things the church was standing for when we went into ministry. We're appalled to see how many churches that were in the same position we were back then, that they were standing. You know, and now you go and you look and you see, and this is true of many of the large Pentecostal denominations. They've gone lukewarm. They have absolutely taken a turn. They just turned right around and went backwards and went back in their stand on most every holiness issue. So they said it's not popular. Well, it better become popular somewhere. It's not going to be popular to stand before Jesus and try to give an account for what you did with His sheep and how you misled His sheep. Oh, my, that won't go over very good in that day. Let's understand that. Well, today, you want this infilling of the Holy Ghost. You want stirred up, don't you? You want God to use you, don't you? Would you put yourself in a place where you give God a valid reason for putting something in your life by making the consecration that you yourself want to be fully involved in His service? You want to use your life to His honor and glory, and that by Him putting things in your life, there's a reason for it there. Why put the gift of miracles in a life that doesn't do anything for God? What would that profit? Entertainment for people who like to see a miracle? It's just not God to work that way. So we got to come back and recognize church and look for ourselves and see. God has a reason for putting His power and His blessing in your life. And you should understand that your surrendered hearts should be surrendered completely. That you should be in that place where God's desire would be to anoint you, to put the gifts of God truly at work in your hearts, because you will use them to His glory. You'll use them in Christian service. So each one of us have got to see our own position, our own place. So I thank God for those who have a vision in your heart. You have a vision. You have something you pray about. It's something you go to God and seek God about because you want God to use your life. You want to be in His service. Oh, to have that desire in your heart. That's just the normal thing for you and I. And how could we want it any other way? Do you want God to really pass you by? You wouldn't want God to pass you by and say, well, God, I go to church. I'm a Christian, Lord. Can He use you? Our salvation is not based upon our works, you know. But Somebody said our works are based upon something. Our works are what follow us because we're saved. And because we yield and give ourselves completely to God, oh my, God gives us much that we now can be in that place of becoming a very fruitful Christian. And I think it's to our honor to become a fruitful Christian. It's to our honor. I mean, we'll be honored for it in the end. Being a fruitful Christian. Not just bearing some little personal fruit, but being a fruitful Christian that you are out there for the fruit, helping the Lord gather the fruit of the earth that He's interested in, reaching others. Well, there's a lot that we need to think about. And Pentecost holds an answer to many of our needs and desires. But understand that. Pentecost, that will make the difference. What God accomplished at Pentecost. I think of Jesus. I mean, in His ways, was He just being diplomatic? No, but He had a powerful persuasion with the Father. And Pentecost would show you that. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." John 14. "And I will pray the Father, and He will." He knew, as He testified and said, "God, I know that You always hear me." He prayed the Father. He prayed the Father that this wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost, this blessing now, that God would surely bestow this upon the church, that the Holy Spirit would be given to every believer. We have a privilege to be saved and to be filled with the Spirit. I can't think anymore. What would it be like to go back where I was in the church when my heart was so hungry and thirsty? When Sister Daly and I and others in our own church, we were finding that we were just right at that place. We knew we were lacking. We knew we didn't have it. We knew we read in the Bible certain things. We saw in the Bible about the power of God and the blessing and all of these things. We saw the workings of the Spirit of God. We read in the book of Acts. And we didn't see it. And we were alarmed about that. It caused us to pray. It caused us in earnest to pray and to seek God. It brought me down on my knees many times to pray. Sister Daly and I prayed many times for this. This wasn't something that just came along. This was something God sent to us because our hearts were poured out to God. Now, God showed us very clearly that He was in this for us, hearing us and answering us. That He knew what our hearts needed. He knew we wanted to work and labor for Him. He knew we wanted to be in the service of God somehow. He knew our position on a lot of things because, hey, we had been with Him for quite a long time. But then I begin to realize, the day I drove out the road going home, us going home for dinner, just going home to have a lunch with Sister Daly, I had a little time I could go home. So I drove home. And that's when I first saw that old tent sitting there. And they were just getting that up erected and getting it, you know, so they could hold meetings. Well, I looked at all of that, and then I look at where that tent was. That tent was within a half a mile of our house, down the road. Brother Miller. My, anybody would have probably called Brother Miller and said, "Hey, Brother Miller, what on earth are you doing? To take your tent and drive out that road and go out there in that country setting out there and set up your tent. Brother Miller, you won't get a half a dozen people visit while you're there." Well, he made a liar of all those who thought that way. He did get some fruit out of that place. Yes. He got the Dailies interested in the things of God. Got us in the place where we really got into, we began to find out what we were hungering and thirsting for. God brought it right up the street. If He could have found a lot any closer to our house, my, if He'd have came up the road and saw the lot that was in front of our house, He might have wanted to put it there. But you see, I look back and say, God sent that man. There was no other good reason for him to be out there. Now, of all that went on up that street, one of the friends of mine, you know, who lived across the street, he never spoke to me again when he saw me go to that place. His name was Mike Tiger, you know. Hey, he remained a tiger. He didn't want to talk to me no more. No, he wasn't interested. I don't know what I did to him. I mean, he throwed bricks at the tent. He didn't like the music. He didn't like this. He didn't like that. I don't know how many times he called the state police, tried to shut it down. But God didn't let him. Kept on going. As a matter of fact, stayed there for months. Now listen, God had to have a way. We prayed, saints. We sought God for a long time for this. We had prayed and sought God and sought God. We didn't know what we were praying for a long time. All we knew, we were hungering and thirsting in our soul. There was something we needed, something we didn't have, something we knew because we could see in the Bible. There was things that we didn't have nor didn't hear about. It's when we began to really get into praying and hear little tidbits of things sometimes. But God heard our prayers. Do you think that we're the only people in America that God heard their prayers? Didn't He hear your prayers a few times? Didn't He hear when you asked to be saved? Didn't He hear when you wanted something from Him? Well, listen, I want you to know He heard you then, and He'll hear you again, and again, and again. And all He wants us to do is be in a place where we're asking Him for something that's right. And nothing's any more right than asking for these things that pertain to Him, His church. Yes, and the service of God. Oh, why don't we pray then? Why don't you get down with a godly hunger that won't let you quit praying? You know, we were encouraged by some of our friends. They felt like we did. I remember some young couples, they felt just like that. But then when the tent really came, we never got them to be able to come out to one of those meetings. I don't know what happened to them. It wasn't like they didn't get asked or they didn't know it was there. But then we got blessed. And oh, how we got blessed. I can't tell you how we got blessed. It made such a mark on our lives. It brought us into something we never thought we'd be into. Who would have ever thought that we would be in the ministry? People might have thought that someday that I'd have a bigger store or something, you know? A bigger business or something. But who would ever thought? But saints of God, what are we going to do? We had to pray. That's what we did. Today, let's consider in our hearts the challenge itself. You know, it's just set right before us. The Holy Spirit is challenging you. He's challenging you. And you're going to have to answer, you know, Lord. Your mind won't let you be at ease. You're going to have to respond some way to God. What are you going to do? And what do you want to do? Right now, it's so good to say, well, I know what I want to do. I want God to use me. I want God to work through my life. I want that my wife and I, or my, you know, family, whatever, that we can be really involved in the work of God. No greater thing can you get involved in. I mean, we can go a long ways in working for God and still have, you know, be in a place where we're holding a job and keeping a house and raising a family. All of our time can't be spent. Besides that, shouldn't the children get into some of these things too? Shouldn't they be involved in it too? Oh my, I don't know a better way to grow up. We weren't brought up in it, so we don't know what it would be like. Oh God, have mercy. Listen today. It's challenging our hearts. A greater need. I think I could get you all to talking, and I think you'd tell me what a great need there is. I think if I went over there and sit down and talk to a guy for 15, 20 minutes and ask him what's going on, what do you run into out there, he'd tell me about all these things that he sees and hears and faces and whatever. Wouldn't you? And what do you need to deal with it? if there's anything, Larry, you were talking just the other night, last night, night before. Oh, you were testifying. You were seeing all these things, Larry. No, he's testifying of all of the opposition to preaching, yet all these things that God keeps putting in front of his face. All of these circumstances he sees that makes him cry. Oh, my, Larry, don't you soften up on that. Don't you let that go. You just get right on your face and you just keep crying out to God. You just keep crying out to God. Lord, give me what it takes to do the work of God. God knows what to do. God knows how to take your vision and turn it around and use it to stir your heart and get you in the place where you'll want more than anything to serve God and be in that place where it won't be just what you see. It'll be something you can do something about. Church, got to be in that place where it's got a hold on us to where we want to do it. And all of us, without exception, we could all do more. Couldn't we? What do we lack? Do we lack anything? Somebody said we lack a church building. No, that's the problem they have up in Manchester. You don't lack a church building. Is that what they lack down in Wichita? Or Omaha? They have a building, don't they? It's not a lack of a building to worship in. Somebody said, I'd bring people to church, but we don't have one. Listen, down inside, there's not a reason I don't think we could think of why we're not more prone and more desirous to be real, true disciples of the Lord. Having that burden in our hearts. Having that vision in our eyes that we know without a vision the people perish. What do we need? Well, we need a Pentecost Sunday more than just once a year, I guess. It always stirs our soul, doesn't it? It always tends to bring us into a place where when it's all over, we feel we are getting filled up with God. We feel then we're drawing nigh to God and getting filled up with the Spirit of God. And you go home, you know, and then after the service today, and you can have an experience in your heart of saying, well, that did me good to be there. You know, what I heard or what I seen or what God said or whatever it might be, it's not always the same. But saints, it should do something to us. It should serve as a challenge to us. Oh, and the great work that's ahead. What a mountain. The great work that's ahead. Oh, it stirs my heart and my soul when I think of the work that's ahead. Oh, it keeps you praying. Keeps you seeking after God. Keeps you going. And just like in days gone by, go back to the Lord again and again and again. And I don't hesitate and go back tomorrow and pray the same thing I prayed today if I don't feel I got through. I believe I have to pray till I pray through and move God's hand. Or until God has showed me it's time to take some kind of a major step. But all today, church, the need is great. The need is great. The nation, what we saw this last summer, all that long journey, my, the mess we run across, oh, everywhere you go. Church is just out of touch. Churches, you couldn't even reach anybody. I don't know what on earth anybody would do if they wanted to report to them the church was on fire, burned down. You wouldn't know where in the world to call because they don't answer their phones. They have answering machines in one half of the country, and you put a message on the answering machine, you never get an answer back, or give them a phone number to call, never give you one. On the other side of the country, they don't have answering machines. They just have phones that ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. They ring all day from early. And I called some places when church was in session, and you knew somebody must be there at that church. It's their service time. What are they doing? I'll tell you one thing they weren't doing. They weren't answering the telephone. Hey, do we answer our phone around here? We're supposed to answer that phone. Is somebody around to answer it all night long? Somebody said, well, is it necessary? good to have somebody answering a phone. We may be, you know, unique. We may be the only church in the country that has a phone that they answer that. I heard the Catholic priest up at the church up the street here, you know, the big Catholic church. And I heard him say, you know, that they have somebody that answers their phone all night. Let's go back at a time when they were trying to set up something in the community, you know, where the churches would be aware of what was going on. And if they needed a preacher in the middle of the night, they know where to get one. So they used his answering service. So somebody was answering their phone. Well, that's good. I wasn't calling Catholic Church when I was out there. Maybe I should have. Maybe I'd have found somebody there. Well, there's so many places you couldn't believe. So we tried everything to get around that. So we were in one place way up there in the highlands in Montana, you know, and we were in a place where we were going to just try this out. So we found a church. We just got it. We said, hey, we're going to go to that church and see what's there. So we went in the daytime. We went to the church. We seen what was there. If there was a church there, nobody was around, not a soul. So the bulletin outside there was advertising the services and gave the pastor's name. And, hey, I finally got his phone number out of the book, and I called there, and it rang, and there was nobody there either. So no matter what you did, church shouldn't be like that. Church ought to have a phone somewhere that somebody answered it. What would a needy soul do in that town to find a church? Hey, don't you ever need a pastor at noontime? Don't you ever need one in the night? Somebody said, well, maybe some folks have his home number. I got his home number and didn't answer it for me. So I tried all of these things. Just really reflect to you the state that's there, you know. Well, not complaining, just saying the facts. We need, deep inside, we need earnest and godly convictions, you know. We need convictions. You know what ought to be a deep conviction in our heart? You know, the Lord has been so gracious to give us everything. He gave us everything. God laid upon His own dear Son these sins and iniquities of us all. He bore them to Calvary. His grace. Oh, how God so freely pardoned us, didn't He? Our salvation is such a complete gift of God. We can't work for salvation. But the Scripture would teach us how we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest we should boast. But then He went on to say that we're surely His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created unto good works. A born again person is created, a new creation, isn't he? Then he's created unto good works. They should follow us. We don't all think of that. We don't want to lack in us, do we? Well, I'm going to leave that part of that stand. And I want to stop and talk some more to you, because I certainly want to see that we, as a church and as the people of God, that we really take serious the call of God. The call of God, the purpose of God. Now, you folks know that I have told you over and over of what God has told me. Now, I don't know. Maybe you don't believe God. Or maybe you don't believe me. But I don't know anybody who personally doesn't. Do you believe me? And you know, I'm in this position where I follow this with my whole heart. I put my whole heart on the line for this. And I want you to understand deep in your heart, hey, this thing, we've got to understand in our own hearts, hey, this thing is not far away. This is not off in the distance. Now, you got to understand, God starts early in His way. And God started working with us about revival when we were yet on Harcourt Street. That was before a lot of these kids were brought into the world here. And some of you were really young, married couples, huh? Do you remember that night? I just stood like this, leaning up against the pulpit, when the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and God began to speak about revival, that if we would pray and seek His face, He would give us a revival like we never saw before. Oh my, I took that to heart. You know, years have been spent in prayer. But what am I supposed to do? I can't lay down a vision like that. I can't forget what God has showed me and told me. I have things that I have to remember that God told me years and years ago. So I want you to think with me. You know, there's a reality, and we need to take for ourselves. And one of the things that God has often spoken to you, for you to get ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be prepared to receive those things that God would give to you. Be ready to receive them. There may be a sudden move of God that will bring that to you then. Why is He warning? Get ready in advance. Be ready for these things. He wants you to be involved in Christian service. He wants you to give yourself to Him and be ready. How can we say we're ready without getting ready to work and labor, being on the job with God? I just want to relate to you again and go back to this first beginning of something that God showed us years ago. I don't forget these things. You know, if God showed you something as clear and as beautiful and wonderful as He showed this to me, it would still be stirring your heart too. Remember the vision? This vision came to us. It was after we were in the tent meetings. It was after we'd been called, you know, knew we were called to the ministry. I don't know if we were through with all of those meetings, but we were well through the ones that were down the street. And they just moved another town or two over, down to Salamanca along the river on the Indian Reservation, and started another tent set and was there for about a month. Moved four times. Each time the tent moved, it was at least 4 weeks. Service. We was at every service. Hey, that was wonderful. Would to God we had a big tent. Maybe I could get you all out. Listen, Sister Daly and I was in morning prayer together. We were in our bedroom, and we were just having a morning time of prayer. We were both knelt down there that morning in our bed, just knelt down in butt of bed praying. We prayed for quite a little while. And Sister Daly, she got up and left the room and walked in the kitchen on to other things that she was doing. I stayed there for a while in the bed, just sitting there on the edge of the bed. Now I'm up on the bed. I'm sitting on the bed. And while I'm praying, suddenly, I don't remember this happening, see. Because when the end of this story comes, I was laying on the bed. And I saw this vision. I've told it to you before. It was a striking vision. It was real. It was given to us when we were so on fire for God in our hearts, wondering what God wanted us to do, wondering what we were going to do. Well, we were in what appeared to be our 1950 Chevrolet. little shiny black car. Nice little car. We were on this real straight narrow road. I'm right behind the driver's seat. I'm not in the driver's seat. I'm back here in the back seat. And Sister Daly is not up in the front seat there. She's in the back seat with me. Now, nobody that you can see is driving this, but someone is driving this car. You can't see them. There was no seeing them. It wasn't like you couldn't see over the seat. I mean, they were invisible. You couldn't see who was driving us. But then I never did see the Holy Ghost, did you? And that was one of those times now when you'd look and say, there was something supernatural. Sister Daly and I both had our elbows up on the back, top of the back of the front seats. We were leaning up there. We were looking in earnest down that road. And I was talking to Sister Daly, and I was saying over and over to her, Sister Daly, look it. Look at that road, Sister Daly. Look how straight it is. Look how narrow it is. Look, Sister Daly, as far as you can see, there's not one turn in this road. And I kept remarking as we're going down the road of how straight and how narrow this road is. And oh my, we went down that road, it seemed, for a long ways. The invisible Holy Ghost leading us, He was driving. We were just in the back seat. We were being taken down this straight and narrow road. We weren't just showed the road and said, hey, boys, go that way. We were being taken down it. He was leading us down that straight and narrow road. Oh, I hear some folks say, well, it don't matter. And there's so many people today who don't believe in a straight and narrow road. A straight and a narrow way into life. They don't believe that anymore. They throw that out. We went for a long ways, and suddenly we were out of the car, out of that, and we were in the most beautiful valley you would ever want to be in. I've often said, if you were a real sheep, boy, that would be like going to heaven. It would be like sheep, you know. That would be like going to heaven. It was such a beautiful valley. It wasn't the steep hills. It just sloped from one side or the other. The grass was so green. This was a beautiful colored vision. I never saw another vision with such beautiful color to all of that. It was so real and then supernaturally real. And we, you could go down through this valley, and there was the beautiful pasture land, you know, the green grass, and we just happened to be going right down along this nice brook. Oh, this clear, crystal kind of clear water. Wasn't a wide stream of water, maybe 6 or 7 feet wide, and it was the water the sheep would need or the cattle would need if they were out there grazing in that field. Just so clear. And Sister Daly and I were kids. We were like kids. We were fully grown up kids. I mean, we didn't reduce down to kid size, but we were like kids. And so when we were headed down to this valley, I had Sister Daly by the hand, and I've illustrated this to you before. And we were skipping like a couple of kids would skip. Kids like to skip. Hey, they got all that ambition. Boy, they can really skip. I don't know whether I could do it at my age now. But there we're going down through this beautiful valley, and we're just skipping along. Just such a place. Oh, such a relaxed atmosphere. Such a wonderful place. It was a place that I would have to stop and look and say, boy, if you could have just built a house right down there somewhere, you'd have loved to live there. But while we're going down through this valley and we're skipping along, it's God showing us, you know, the state we were really in. We were very happy. We were very happy, very thrilled in our soul after all we had gone through, and just, you know, that was all fresh in our hearts and minds. And so we skipped along for a long ways down to that, and suddenly, as real as I'm real, somebody took my hand. My hand was swinging down here, and I had a hold with Sister Daly's hand over here. Someone took my hand and began to pick me right off the ground. And I had Sister Daly by the hand, and I began to pull her right with me. I didn't let go of her, and I'm not going to let go of her either if I know her. But we started to be lifted up, and it seemed to me we were just lifted up and up and up and up. I'm wondering, what is this, you know? We were just being lifted up. And then, after we were lifted up, we suddenly began to feel, you know, we were being just let down. Like we were being let down 2 or 3 feet. And Sister Daly's feet had hit over here, and mine hit over here. And we're standing way up there on this big rock. Great big rock. And we were lifted up, and there we were standing, hand in hand together, on the top of that great big rock where we had been lifted up to. Now, looking at that for a few moments, we were looking down and seeing where we were, and then we looked up. And you could see right out over the trees, right over the trees, down to where there was this valley. You could see right out there, you know. And here you were placed way up there. Well, then the vision ended. And I woke up and I was laying on the bed. I was sitting there before that. Oh, I couldn't get over what I had saw. I couldn't get over what I had saw and what had happened there. But I could not figure out, what was God showing me? What did all of this mean? You know, God has His ways of work. Our whole lifetime was in that vision. From where we stood that day to where we'll stand one day, that was all our lifetime there. We saw those experiences. We found that place that was straight and narrow. We've certainly gone down, and sometimes you probably think so when you hear us preach, and we, you know what I mean, we lay it on, and we try to present it as it is and bring a reality to you of the gospel and not compromise with it. But I think many a time, as I wondered and questioned in my heart, what, Lord, does this mean? The only way you find out if it's about your whole lifetime, if it's about what's ahead for you, or what God's plan or purpose is, then you've got to take that a step at a time. And as you go through the experience, then you'll look back and say, now I know what He meant when He said about this straight and narrow road that He put us on. Well, it was nice to be on a straight and narrow road. Oh, my. We didn't mind that at all. We thought this was wonderful how God would lead us. But then we found out that everybody was not happy with us when we walked down that straight and narrow road because they didn't want to. But down through that valley, it was a place that I'd look at and say, boy, what a humble walk. Just a humble walk with God. And there you are. God has made you so happy in His service. We were so happy. We were so excited. It was so real to our heart and soul. And we've loved this work of God. We've loved this ever since God called us. We haven't had to deal, you know, with wanting to run away or do something else. No. We've had our hearts in God's work. But piece by piece, things are revealed to you. And I saw a lot of that vision really, you know, I would say come to pass. But this one part, I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it yet. And that was when the The Lord took me by the hand and lifted me right up, and my wife with me as I hung right under her, and placed our feet way up there on that rock. Now, symbolically, you could look in the Bible and see one of the best places, the blessed places, is to be on the rock. And who is really the rock? Jesus really is the rock. Being lifted up on the rock. Being brought up in the Lord to a place then of standing in Him. And for some purpose. Some purpose for which, you know, you'd have to wait to see. But I've surely heard those words from God over the past 5 years. So, how much God has spoken to me concerning it, making me to understand what that was about. But I look at all that and say, like He spoke one day to me and said, you know, He said it like this. He said, I'm going to put this revival right in you. And I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm going to lift you up and send you out to this nation. Well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That kind of fits the pattern of what God has said and spoken. There's other things He's spoken, and it included Sister Daly. For as I'm concerned, it seems to me, if I follow that carefully, we got a long way to go yet together. How long? We don't know. But one thing, we want revival. Our hearts burn for this. There's a great need. Now, I tried to express to you some of the things that God said, and I told you about when God told me He would give us this revival. And I brought this to you before. And I took serious what God said, and I went to prayer, and I started to pray about this. And I was standing right over here one morning, and oh, how God spoke to me that morning. I had prayed for several weeks. And I was asking God for one thing. I was asking God, would He grant to us to work signs and wonders and miracles in this revival that He's told us about? And after praying for numerous days, weeks there, and praying about it, I laid out a careful plan to God, what I thought. All the reasons that I could think of why I thought God could do this for us. And so I spoke out my heart to the Lord about that and told Him all of those things that I felt, from soul winning and turning others to the Lord and wanting to get out, you know, and go for God and see what we could do to help in this nation and the troubles, you know, the churches are in this last day. But that morning I stood right over there. And the Holy Ghost came on me strongly that morning, and the Lord said, I'm going to hear you, answer your prayer. I'm going to grant to you to work signs and wonders and miracles in this revival, but for this reason and this reason only. So, hey, by the time I started hearing this, I began to wonder in my heart, you know, what God's going to come out with when He said, but He would do it, but for only this one reason. And now, I had brought all those other reasons, and He wasn't going to do it for those reasons. So now, I talked to God for a long time that morning about it. And I, you know, had to get some answer there that I would know and I would understand. And God went on to relate to me why He would do it for His glory. The only reason He would do it, that Christ would be glorified. The glory to Christ's ministry. He would do it to be glorified. Now that was the sole purpose. He wouldn't do it for any other reason. He would do it for that reason. And then He gave me a talking to that morning about my responsibility in seeing that that glory, when we saw those works, that that glory was brought and given to God. That we wouldn't let people just be like people are, hog down all they can get and never say thanks. Oh my, how God spoke that morning. And I walked around this church, and boy, I had the fear of God upon me, and thinking of how responsible God had just made me concerning that issue. In the day that people refused to give the glory to glorify Christ, God said, I'll cease working those signs, wonders, and miracles. Sounds serious, doesn't it? I had this strong feeling, church. I had this strong feeling that it was a touchy matter when you talked about touching the glory of God. God's glory is God's glory. And we surely would feel a great privilege that something was done in the ministry that would bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus, that He would be honored and glorified by many, and as a reason of the mighty works that He would do, that He would do for their benefit. But you know, a lot of people can have miracles and they don't even think to say thanks. They don't have to tell me thanks. But don't we have to say something to God? God knows the heart of man. He'll take all He can get, and so many will walk away ungrateful. Now, I've said this to you folks before. I know we need miracles in this church. I know that we have people sitting here today who need an absolute miracle of God to meet a need that they have. I know that. I know you folks almost like the back of my hand. I've known you a long time. And I know how many times we've looked at some of those needs. Now, I'm just saying to you, that in light of the words of God, I would say we all ought to recognize and realize that God may be fed up to the ears with people. And the great things God has done and the things for which people never stop to glorify God for, never seem to care. And I believe that God, in looking at those things, has really set His hand. And I think God is really saying, hey, it's hard and it's difficult, and I suppose you would find it from the Atlantic to the Pacific. You'll find it everywhere. And why? Well, I look at it like God shows it in the Scripture about sacrifices there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. They brought sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice to God. They brought everything to God but what God wanted. So finally, God said, away with that sacrifice. I'll have no more of that sacrifice. The sacrifice has lost their savor to God. The thing which God established. They could go with corrupt lives and crooked lives and lying lives and hateful hearts and whatever. They could go and they could make sacrifices which God would never accept. Away with that. Then He brought the Lamb of God into the world. And Jesus came, a true sacrifice. One sacrifice that would for eternity last. It would never lose its effect. But today, let's think about what we need. I don't know how to put everything together. I take it a day at a time. What's God going to do next? Well, I know what He wants to do. He's got a plan. It's set in order. There's a day for it. There's a time for it. And I've surely learned in life, there's some things there's no use of pushing on. You're not strong enough. You're not there and lean up against a big brick building and push and push and do like you do. Push. Try to push it. You think you'll push it over? You won't even crack the mortar in one brick. You push all day. We want to push things. You don't push God. One day at a time. You live that day, you pray that day, and you seek God that day, one day at a time. Tomorrow, if there's another day, come back and seek Him some more. But when God has a time, God is going to work. And in His time, God will do all that he said. That's what I know. And I said to you many times, if you want to know what God is doing, what God is going to do, just look back what he said he would do, and there's where you'll see him work. You'll see him work right there where he said he would work. You'll see him do what he said he would do. So I don't mind waiting, pressing my way, praying, seeking, holding my faith. One day, I know what will happen. One day, God's hour will come, and God will do something. I'll have to wait and see what he does in that sense. But do we want this revival? Come on now, do you want this revival? Oh, how that ought to bless your heart. Heaven's put our little church on the map. Heaven knows we're here. Heaven knows that Pastor Daly pastors here. And Sister Daly with me. Heaven knows. Say the Pentecost come over to help us. Heaven knows. Hey, are we on the map? Are we just an unknown that not even God knows us? Oh, church, there's a great last day work to do. Now, I'm just going to ask you one thing, and you can take this one home with you tonight. What did God mean when he suddenly, then in the vision, took me by the hand and lifted me, and I lifted Sister Daly with me, and lifted us way up there on that rock to stand? What would he be lifting us up for? What is his purpose? Now, I could give you a could be. Could this revival be the very thing that God is stating? Could the beginning of a revival that would spread and bring glory to the Lord, wouldn't that seem logical? Well, all I can tell you is that surely could be, and I would think that way. There has to be a reason for that. Well, today, I think we should all be in a place where we want what God has. Do we want it? Well, I tried to include you in those things, that you would be a part with God and what God does. I know the farther you go into something, the more help you need, the more people you need to pray, the people you need to work with you. So we're going to go out and recruit all strangers. Is that it? We'll close our office here and just go. We'll find strangers. No, we're not going to do that, are we? Hey, is sharing the vision? Is sharing the praying? Is sharing the work and labor? And surely in the end, who will share with us in the reward? God will reward us all according to what we do. Each one according to his works. Well, I'm thankful tonight. It's getting tonight, it seems like we're in the evening service, but it's not even that time yet. I'm thankful, though, in my heart. God is getting ready to move. It's surely there. God has a purpose. I found myself a long time ago spending a lot of time in prayer. And some of the things that God seemed to lay in my heart. And I found it laying in my heart so many times in prayer about a remnant of people. And these people that God would want to reach, a remnant of people who would turn their hearts and lives to God. A remnant of people that God would just have to do something special to reach out and redeem those people and bring those people to himself. And I found myself so many times praying for those very people. Don't know who they are or where they are. Only that in the Spirit, you know, God is showing you there's a people. And God's going to have a people. God wants to reach those people. So I believe that though there's a multitude falling away in the last days, there's going to be a faithful remnant of people who are going to stand true, who are going to stand strong with the Lord, who are going to be ready when Jesus comes as part of a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So if we were to take a hold of that, and think in our heart and mind, you know, we have to understand some of the feelings of the Lord and his work. God isn't willing that any perish, is he? How much more people that would turn to him? And in a day when people are falling away and giving up and turning aside, when they're falling back, when they're compromising and filled with complicity of every way, we'd stop and say, well, God surely knows who's his, who's real. But there's people that God wants to reach. Hey, that's one of the areas where I think there's certainly going to be a big harvest. God's going to reach people. Why else would he want to raise up a revival for the nation? Why else would he work in this way? Well, I just appreciate the fact that somehow he showed me this long before I started. Long before I preached a sermon, our life was laid right out there. Now, I've seen a lot of what I feel, a lot of that come to pass. But all down to this last place, I've had a lot of visions. A lot of them have been about the work of God. A lot of them have been about the call of God. A lot of them was to get me into this call of God. All these things are very important. But I want you to know tonight how important it is that we are ready. Be ready. And shouldn't we take serious that we can be a part of a blessing that would reach out? And every one of us can be more and more involved. But all I can tell you, one thing we need is pastor of this church, I can tell you. You know, it's so easy to just get in these seats and just come to church and just sit here. You're sitting pretty quiet right now. I see a lot of times when you should be standing here kind of quiet too. And I see a lot of times when you could be praising God and praising and worshiping God with all your heart. And you're too tired or you don't feel like it. And we're ever urging you. We're ever pumping on the handle over here saying, hey, let's get some water flowing here. Oh, church, what are we going to do? Hey, don't you think we ought to make a consecration that, you know, we've got to be up and apt. I know you're doing a lot of good things. I understand, you know. I think you're good people. Hey, I love you. Respect you. But I still, as your pastor, tell you the truth. You need revival fire, you know what I mean? You need real sparks set here that will ignite. I mean, you need a prairie fire. You need a fire that no matter how fast you run, you can't outrun it. It's going to outrun you. It's going to get you no matter what. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, dear old John the Baptist came along to tell us the truth about Jesus when he said, you know, he baptized with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, my. And he'll gather his wheat into the barn, you know. Hey, listen, we need that Holy Ghost and fire. We sing about it. But saints of God, you got to possess it in your soul. You got to have that deep inside. Oh, that'll run you every day of the week. I'll tell you, some of you don't know how to find a prayer time. I found it knows how to get me to pray. Boy, it knows how to get me up in the night, get me up early in the mornings, get me up and go to prayer. Oh, God, God's faithful. I mean, he knew I was going to have a busy day today, but that didn't stop him from waking me up at 4 o'clock. No, not at all. It was good to come over here to pray. Oh, thank God. Now, don't you think we got to get a new feeling up here tonight? Before we get out of here. Don't you really think we all should get filled? How many times we could just stop and lift up our hands? And if we didn't do nothing but praise the Lord, and take and open our mouth and praise the Lord in the Spirit and talking in tongues to the Lord. Hey, in tongues you can talk to the Lord and you can speak of heavenly things and you can speak all the proper words that ought to be spoken. And you can speak it in the Spirit and honor and glorify God. Oh, how we ought to be willing to just open ourselves fully to God. Don't you think? Don't you think? Do you think with me? Oh, my God, get a hold of us. I know God can do this. He put a fire in us all the way back there in the early 60s. As a matter of fact, he started back in 1959. And we look and say, this fire of God, it's never gone away. Oh, Every once in a while, though, it's nice to kindle that fire and ask God to make it burn hot. But it gets in your soul, it gets in you, and it motivates you and it moves you in the way you ought to go. Well, tonight, today, we've got to take some time, and we've got to get around this altar, and we've got to lift up our hands, and we've got to press up to God, push our hands up high to Him, and ask God to renew us in the Holy Ghost, to fill us full, and to revive us inside, and fill us new in filling of the Holy Ghost. I talked throughout the week about things that we would need and should do. And the one thing that I mentioned in the meetings during the week was how we needed to be in that place, you know, where we were pressing our way in and expecting that somehow today God would refill us and give us a new fire in our soul, like we're always wanting God to do. Just now we need to let Him do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yea, the Lord would say, I am moved, saith the Lord. Yea, I am touched, yea. Yea, the Lord would say unto thee, I am moved at the great need. Yea, I am moved, yea, at sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. Yea, I am moved, yea, at many. Yea, and no one has a care for their souls, saith the Lord. Yea, for my eye sees. Yea, and my hand is outextended. My hand is reaching out, yea, to the lost. But yea, the Lord would say, I am moved, yea, by prayer and supplication for revival, saith the Lord. Yea, I've heard the cry. Yea, I have heard the prayers that have gone up continually unto me, yea, for revival. Yea, and I have spoken, yea, of fulfilling those words. Yea, in moving, saith the Lord. Yea, I am moved. Yea, prayer moves me, saith the Lord. Yea, prayer and concern causes the compassions of God to rise. Yea, and to rise for the needy soul and the suffering people. Yea, but the Lord would say unto thee, I am moved. Yea, I am moved. Yea, at this generation. And I am moved, saith the Lord, at the complacency. I am moved at this falling away, saith the Lord. It grieves my heart. Yea, saith the Lord, it grieves me within. Yea, and the Lord is grieved at the carelessness of the saints. Yea, and those that have drawn back, saith the Lord. And the Lord would say to thee, in my view, saith the Lord, these things have been plain. Yea, and long before you could see. Yea, the Lord has seen those things. Yea, but the Lord would say unto thee again, I am moved. Yea, I am moved to bring this revival. Yea, that won't be like any revival that you've seen or witnessed, saith the Lord. I am moved to bring this. I am committed to bring this, saith the Lord. Yea, I will bring revival. Yea, the Lord would say unto thee, yea, be a part with me. Be a worker, a laborer together with me. Yea, stand firm and fast, saith the Lord. Yea, for truly the Lord is moved. Yea, and the Lord is moved, yea, against many. Yea, and the Lord is displeased with the attitude of many of the saints. Yea, the Lord would say, many are like greedy dogs, saith the Lord. But the Lord would say unto thee, yea, I am moved by prayer and supplication. Yea, I am moved, yea, by the great need there is, but more than all. Yea, the Lord would stand back. Yea, and the Lord would see what goes on. Yea, and many things would pass on, saith the Lord. Yea, and only add to the calamities that are ahead. Yea, the Lord would say, I am moved. Yea, I am moved, saith the Lord, and I would say to thee, this is the end of the age. Yea, and what you see will only get worse, saith the Lord. I'm moved. Yea, and many shall come to calamity. Yea, many shall weep and wail, and many will gnash their teeth, saith the Lord, in this last day. Yea, but I, the Lord, would say, I am moved. There are some things that I won't do, saith the Lord. Yea, I won't feed the greed, saith the Lord. Yea, I will not participate in those who are not putting forth their hearts in me as they should. Yea, the Lord would say, I shall not, yea, do all of those things, yea, that man would want me to do. But what I will do, saith the Lord, I will do a work that's for my glory. Yea, and this is the one reason, saith the Lord, for my glory. This is my purpose, saith the Lord. This is my plan, saith the Lord. Yea, I laid this plan, yea, in the heart of your pastor, saith the Lord. Yea, I laid it in his heart. It's not his own idea. Yea, it is mine, saith the Lord. Yea, the Lord would say to thee, there's a work to do. Yea, enter into that which I set before you and be a part, saith the Lord, that you too might receive at the hand of the Lord the good things that I have to share. Yea, the Lord would say, I am moved, and I am going to be moved, saith the Lord, greatly, and I am going to bring glory to my name in the face of the shame that's brought to my name by the awful spirit of Antichrist in the world. Yea, I shall rise up and make my name known well, saith the Lord, among the faithful. Yea, and the faithful shall know that the Lord is being honored and glorified. Yea, and the faithful will know that I, the Lord, in my glory, yea, shall reveal and shall make known light. Yea, that they shall see and know that I am out, saith the Lord, in this last day to be honored. Yea, among the faithful, among the saints. I am dishonored by many, saith the Lord. Yea, I am moved against many, yea, who have compromised and gone astray, saith the Lord. Yea, but the Lord would stand. I'll stand for my people who stand with me. And I will honor my people who honor me. And my glory shall be made manifest in the presence of my people who honor me and stand with me. Yea, but amongst those, yea, that go about in fornication and adultery, an evil way, saith the Lord. Yea, they shall not see my glory, neither shall they know it. Yea, the Lord would say to thee, fear not. Yea, for I am with thee. Fear not, saith the Lord. Stand fast. Yea, for this is a day, and this is an hour. Yea, of great challenge throughout the earth. Yea, know in your hearts as you have been warned. Yea, and as it has been taught to you of the great time of trouble. Yea, looming, the great time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Yea, that great time of great tribulation. Yea, know. Yea, know in your hearts that surely it's the great and terrible day of God Almighty. Yea, the Lord would say to thee, be prepared in your hearts to stand and stand with me. Yea, the Lord would say, draw near to me. Come close to me. Why do you hold back? Why do you have so many reservations, saith the Lord? Why don't you yield to me, yea, your whole heart? Why don't you draw close to me with your whole soul? Yea, and know that I'm calling thee, I'm drawing thee. Yea, and I'm drawing thee to a closer walk and a deeper walk, saith the Lord. Yea, that you may walk in righteousness and holiness before the Lord. Yea, and that I might see thee and see thee in the midst, yea, of these closing days on the battlefield, laboring and walking with the Lord and doing the works of God. Yea, and declaring the gospel and showing the truth to those that are lost, to those who have not known, to those who have not had the light nor the understanding. Yea, I reach out to them. Yeah, I am moved toward those who are not reached, who are not touched by the power. A big multitude, saith the Lord, a great multitude. Yea, and the Lord would say, they've drawn away from me. Yea, they don't walk with me anymore. They're drawn away from me. Yea, like Israel drew away from me many times. Yea, many are drawn away from me, saith the Lord. They don't seek my presence and my closeness anymore. Yea, they don't desire to draw close to me, saith the Lord. Yea, I am moved against them, saith the Lord, as they've turned away. And yea, I, the Lord, am steadfastly looking upon a remnant, saith the Lord, of people who yet have not heard the gospel, who will turn to me and believe, and come to me with a first love, and love me, saith the Lord, as I have chosen it to be. And the Lord would say unto thee, yea, I call thee, yea, to love me, yea, with that first love. Yea, kindle the love of your heart toward the Lord your God. Yea, and know in the depths of your heart, yea, the age, yea, draweth to a close, and calamities await the world. But those that are true, and those that are faithful, and who walk with me, saith the Lord, shall also walk with me, arrayed in fine white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Yea, and shall see, yea, see the glory of the Lord, and see the Lord glorified. Yea, and be caught up, yea, into heaven, yea, into presence, yea, of your heavenly Father. Yea, the Lord would say unto thee, yea, I am moved, I am stirred. Yea, the Lord would say, many things, yea, many things stir the Lord in these days. Yea, the Lord would call thee to prayer. The Lord would call thee to pray, to seek earnestly, to seek out for me, yea, those things that are needed, yea, to bring revival, saith the Lord, that you can have a great visitation, yea, that your hearts be prepared, that you'll be willing. Yea, the Lord would say, draw close and surrender your all to me. Yea, walk with me. Draw near to me. Yea, be close to me, saith the Lord. Yea, I love thee. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Yea, my love has been toward thee. Yea, my love has drawn thee, saith the Lord. Yea, I have drawn thee to come and draw close to me. Yea, let the love of your heart, yea, let the love of your heart, yea, let this love that I have shed abroad in your heart, let it radiate all the way to heaven, saith the Lord. Yea, let it radiate out, yea, into this community, and yea, into the surroundings where you live and where you work, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm moved, saith the Lord, but I would say again, I'm moved to bring revival. And I'm going to bring revival, saith the Lord. I'm going to bring revival, and those that have honored me, yea, those that would honor the Lord, yea, shall see my glory, saith the Lord. And those whom I choose, yea, but many, saith the Lord, yea, many shall not see my glory. Yea, many shall not see my face. Yea, many have drawn back to perdition. Many have gone away. They have turned from me, and many are being turned because they listen, yea, to voices speaking lies, yea, of the spirit of Antichrist, yea, that would seek to destroy the church and to destroy my people, saith the Lord. Yea, stand fast. Yea, stand fast. Yea, be filled with my spirit. Yea, be filled. Yea, I am moved toward thee today, saith the Lord. I am speaking unto thee today. Yea, I have made real to you, yea, some things, yea, from my heart, saith the Lord. And the Lord would say, I am moved. I am moved at what goes on in this nation. I am moved, yea, at the state of the church. I am moved at the falling away and the coldness of heart. I am moved, saith the Lord. Yea, at those who turn my word aside, yea, to walk in their own ways. Yea, those who have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Yea, and have established doctrines of their own. Yea, saith the Lord. Oh, the Lord would speak unto thee, and the Lord would say, hear what the Spirit has spoken, yea, unto the church. Hear what I have said I would do. Hear what I have called and called thee for, saith the Lord. Hear me this day, saith the Lord. Oh God. Boy, it's your privilege to have God talk to you today. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God. If that don't stir your heart, you'll probably never be stirred. If that didn't stir your heart. You heard God talk to you. You've heard God talk about mixed things that He's moved about. He's moved toward us. He's looking toward us. We have a work to do. We're part of a plan of His. Let's not let God down, eh? Let's not turn aside. God's sore displeased with things happening out in the church world. It's sore displeased to God. God is moved. It's just falling away. God is moved. Oh, saints, you need Him? Does it move you that God, then having heard cry and prayer offered up, and more prayer, and more prayer, and more prayer, and every day hearing somebody crying out to God to move. Seeing the need that God would stir our hearts to move us. Listen, God's going to bring His glory to whom He will, isn't He? Many people won't see His glory. God's not going to show His glory to someone who dishonors Him. Remember the message there in 1 Samuel? He was allowing his sons to dishonor God. But God said, you know, God would honor them that honored Him. God will always honor them that honor Him. Well, those that dishonor God, like like Eli's sons, you know what happened to them. But today, I think we have an occasion. I believe we've got a great occasion to come down around this altar and we'll get an opportunity here. We'll sing a song or two, but I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord, and I want you to praise the Lord and get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to praise the Lord in the Spirit. We'll just all open our hearts and we'll let God fill us. Let's let God fill us. Let's let God do for us what He wants to do. So what He told us is something to behold. You get a little sample of what it might be like to be in the prayer closet where God moves in your life. And He'll start talking to you, and He'll start telling you things. God's not afraid to tell us some things. He wants you to take them to heart.